Is this on?
Good afternoon. Good evening right now. Sorry, my bad. And it is the second time that I do that mistake. Tuesday, 23rd of April. Yeah. Yes. And you have your usual host, Trev, Tokabi, Carmen Ali, and we have two new hosts here who will introduce themselves. So, guys.
Sorry, Dev. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Anything you want to tell the listeners about yourself?
Nah, not really. Not really. Since I'm most of the listeners, to be honest.
Got a very good point there. What about you?
Well, I'm Athena Cabenu. I'm a comedian. I've never listened to this. It's just the one guy who's in the room.
Yeah,
that, so we don't need to record this. We could just talk to
him. Oh, no, one of my friends listens to it too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
she likes it. Apparently, yeah. We spent too long deciding the name, though, in the first episode.
I missed that. Because obviously, I knew the name.
Does this have a name?
Yeah. Is this on podcast?
Is this
yeah.
On?
Oh, is this on? No.
Yeah. But they spoke about it for like an hour, and then yeah. Cam was like, "What is this on?" I was like, "Oh, that's what I know. That's what you're gonna call it."
Okay, so yeah, guys, we got two new guests here. We're hoping they'll enjoy themselves this evening, so we can have them back and you know just build on the banter for whatever reason. I think something to do with Carmen being here. She's got people leaving all the time. I brought my friend Omar here last time. Somehow he's left us where Carmen. What's wrong with you?
I think it might be you, Trev. Why would you assume it's me?
No, it's you. It's you. With the two remaining members from the original.
Are we gonna die? Like, I didn't sign up for this. The two remaining members, you know.
That's why we're doing it in the cemetery.
Yeah.
Alright, well, these are my last words. I love you, Mum.
Yeah, it's weird, because the first two episodes we're doing it in a nice recording studios, and now we are in a basement somewhere in East London. Next to a cemetery, so yeah.
That's not a basement, we're not underground.
Trev likes to exaggerate.
There's like martini in this room. It's fine. Don't worry about us.
The garden, you know? Right there.
The TV is massive. Yeah. Like, this room is totally adequate. Don't worry about Trev. That's what you told immigration. It's fine. Yeah. He's living it up.
This room is bigger than my whole flat. Seven of us.
Actually,
living, so.
It's bigger than my whole flat.
I know, man. Bedroom tax. I think you owe the government some money, Trev. Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do, man. You know? Trying to bring something to the UK economy. I know it's collapsing, so they need people from Africa to come through, give them some money, doing our bit.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm saying there.
No, thank you, on behalf of this country.
But yeah, you're welcome. It's not like it's the first time.
Oh, and welcome.
Thank you.
I never said that. Welcome.
Thank you. So,
it's a plasto.
This was a dream, guys. This was a dream. But yeah, so there's been a couple of interesting things. What we like to talk about, we always, like, think from the first podcast, we've always had this thing about the rush hour crush section of a Metro newspaper. And guess what, Carmen, you're probably going to be pleased with that stupid story. One of the listeners actually
They
got engaged.
They tweeted you to me.
No, not them. Like, one of my friends who listened to the podcast just tweeted me like, "Oh, yeah, you're always going on about Rush Hour Crush, but guess what? Some people are getting engaged."
Shall I read out the original crush?
Yeah, yeah,
you can
read
that. Is this it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
That's disgusting.
What?
Rebecca Church, I'm the tall rugby player who contacted you through Rush Hour Crush. Oh, no, this is what he's saying to her now.
No, this was the original. Engagement. I think this is the engagement letter.
He actually proposed
to her in the paper.
I can't imagine my life without you. I love you more every day. Every time we look at each other, I see the other half of me staring back. That's a bit weird. The story of our love is just beginning. Let's write our own ending. Will you marry me? Hopefully, the luckiest fiance.
I'm looking at him now. She doesn't look that lucky.
I don't know what to make of his story. I mean,
You can't see this, but her hair is like Soul Glow hair from Coming to America. But she's white, but it's like Soul Glow hair. So yeah. Good for her.
Oh, maybe she's mixed.
She might. You know.
Yeah, it's also got a bit of something in her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you guys make of it? You know, I mean,
they always go really over the top when they do the success stories. They always go really like, "Oh, I love you. Oh, this is so amazing." I bet they get divorced in like 6 months. They won't be doing a story on that, will they?
No.
I would do it if they gave me a free travel card, like, you know, as a wedding present, but it wouldn't be worth it otherwise.
Doesn't really prove anything. People meet in all kinds of ways, so that's...
What's the weirdest place you've met somebody?
I tend not to meet people. I'm like, oh, she's nice. I'm gonna continue sitting here and reading this book.
That sounds just like you. So.
It does, doesn't it? It's just depressing.
I'm trying to think as well.
I know, like, I've met people in
night bus stops are quite common.
Oh yeah.
Or used to be common.
They're still common. Still to these days.
Chicken shops. Sainsbury's.
Chicken shop at 3 o'clock in the morning after a drunken night out. Yes.
I feel like if half of the Chilean miners were women, like, they would have got married. No.
Fancy.
So that's been a bit weird. You want to say something?
No, I was going to say they can name the kids appropriate names like dog.
But another story from Rush Hour Crush. I give like the initial story about this. Basically, a female wrote in last Friday in the Rush Hour Crush, and she stated that she cheated on a boyfriend of 2 years, and 3 months later, the guy got married to another girl, and she basically wants to know how to get over it. Right?
Oh,
so, Athena, if you just want to read the helpful answers she got from people who read it,
just to clarify,
she cheated on a boyfriend, got dumped, right. He got married to another girl.
Well, good for him.
3 months after. And she wrote in to find out how she needs to move on from there. Stop. And these are the helpful answers.
These people are cold. I'll read a couple. The first one is, advice needed. You don't need help moving on. You already did that when you made the decision. Now learn from your mistake, biatch. Wow.
Love the emotion you put into that as well. It's a real performance.
That's like what she's written. Like, here's a good one. Advice needed. You must live with the fact you threw away someone worth marrying for a quick thrill. You got what you deserve.
Are there any nice ones?
Hope you die. I'll pass it around. All of these are quite bitter and twisted.
There is one that's marked. There is one with a mark there if you want to read it.
No, this one here. That one.
Oh, that's quite diplomatic.
Oh, this one, sorry.
The diplomatic one is, it sounds as though you're both unfaithful and not in a good relationship. What?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
But I'm confused by that as well. It's like, what the hell are you trying to say? They're both cheating.
If he got engaged so quickly, he was probably with that other woman anyway.
Yeah, so maybe.
I don't know.
How are you getting married after 2 months?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's a knee-jerk reaction. Like, he took it really hard and basically, you know, that was a knee-jerk reaction. He took it really, really hard and the next thing he did was just marry the next girl back in. But my favourite one is that one.
I hope you stay sad, single and lonely for a long time. Once a cheat, always a cheat. No one should ever trust you again.
Why is everybody reading the bit without my favourite bit?
But cheater, hater, London.
Yeah, cheater, hater. Guess what? You know what I love about this thing, right? Somebody wrote back to cheater, hater.
God, what is it saying?
Cheater, hater, and they're like, give the girl a break. Yes, she cheated, but I'm sure she regrets it and has learned from her mistake. Advice needed. Get out there. Find another man and stick with the right one. Dr. Phil Wannabe.
And he's like, she's got somebody there, like, her knight in shining armour defending her.
Maybe they'll get married and then
they'll
be alright. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, cheater, hater, and Dr. Phil Wannabe getting together. Oh, we met through. And it's, I don't know. I just like the banter that goes on and it's kind of crazy. But what happened? I think people have been hypocrites because at some point everybody's cheating one way or another.
I don't agree with that. But I will say that cheating is easy, and you can't, you know, at the end of the day, people do it. Look, there are worse things you can do to a person. Do you know what I mean?
Cheat on them, like...
You can put their clothes on a hot wash and shrink their clothes.
I don't think this works.
I can go out and buy new clothes. Yes, it's going to hurt my bank account.
All that's going to do is make them look a bit more rich.
You can, like, take too much butter from the tub. I don't know. Guess what I'm trying to say is people cheat. People have always cheated. So you can't treat it like it's the worst thing on the planet. You can just think about whether you can forgive it or not. If you can't forgive it, you're going to have to end the relationship. If you can forgive it, keep the relationship going and have a nice life. But
I don't think no one really gave her any constructive advice, which was, you know, maybe you did cheat on him for a reason and you're just missing him because you're on your own.
Yeah.
And you'll move on eventually. Like, and you know not to cheat on someone.
I do think, no one gave him constructive advice. But at the same time, what you're saying about cheating and about how people can move on, I don't know, very something there. So how easy it is for people to move on from cheating? Do you think it's very easy? Do you think, or is it that one thing where everybody has to accept that, you know what, people are going to give in to temptation at some point?
I think that, look, first of all, the one thing she did was get caught.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's face it, that's the issue. She got caught.
Yeah.
But I think that some people are very emotional. And if you're a very emotional person, you've got to be with a very faithful person.
Yeah.
Because if you're not with a faithful person, they're just going to, like, pull those heartstrings. But if you're quite, like, I'm quite pragmatic. So if my other half cheated on me, I would kind of say, well, there's plenty more fish in the sea. And I have that option because I've got nice teeth and hair. So, but I think some people have low self-confidence. And so there's plenty more fish in the sea. They don't feel it applies to them. And that's quite sad.
Would you break up with a guy if he cheated on you?
It would not necessarily. It all depend on context.
Wow, that's great. That's the type of woman I need to meet. Would you break up with Trev if he cheated on you? Not necessarily. Thank you. Green light. Oh,
what's cheat? I mean, someone could get drunk and kiss another person.
Yeah, I think it depends. It depends how long you've been with someone, and say they did something like that. Not necessarily, but if they had a long thing with then I think that's different. I think
the first rule is not to get caught. As long as you don't get caught, it's fine. Getting caught is where, you know, where things become a bit more muddy and confusing and create a whole nother situation. But what do you think from a guy's perspective? If your girl cheated on you, would you still be with her? I mean, I don't know.
It depends on the situation. I don't know. It's like, it also depends who she, like, cheated with. If it was, like, you know, she randomly met George Clooney one night, like... I can't be mad about that.
It's Clooney, man. Yeah. Right.
It was just another guy who's not as good looking as me. I'm like, well, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Alright, okay. From a personal point of view, I think, like, for me, it's sort of, I probably use it to my advantage, and I think, I know that's a pretty much, you know, and it's not a nice thing to do or a nice thing to say, but, you know, this would be my first fault. Like, okay, yeah, I know if I do it now, she can't really come back at me. Like, I've got an excuse, to behave that way, which is not really the right thing to do or say, but again, I never do or say the right thing. So,
guys, you should have been here when Trev had his book out about, was it about
cheaters? Yeah. Bill Burr and Joe De La Rosa, they wrote this book about cheating, a guideline for cheating and men not to get caught. And it was very insightful. Very insightful advice. So anyway, it's out there, guys, if you want to get it.
No, I shouldn't have brought it up again.
You know? Yeah. All right. I've got something else here if you want to read it. Again, it's a rush hour crush thing. Sorry, I'm obsessed about this thing.
This is why I ride my bike to work. Okay. This is great. My ex and I are still in love, but my family strongly disapprove. Should we get back together? I mean, if your family disapprove,
it's kind of like your relationship.
There's not enough information there.
Yeah. It's not, yeah. But again, the fact that she feels that she has to write to a group of strangers to get advice.
I think they make some of this stuff up.
Yeah, surely they have got to make
it. Is her ex like her cousin? Like her family disappeared.
I don't know, some families want that to happen.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I don't know, why would you write that to a bunch of strangers? Like, their advice counts.
I mean, my advice to this person, if this person is like Chio or your mate or your mate, my advice, my advice would be, if you are still in love with each other, get back together, unless you're related, unless he's like convicted of some awful crime, unless he's in prison even, or unless he's poor, unemployed or whatever, but
or is into country music,
exactly, and pitchforks. All this. Generally speaking,
or does stand up comedy.
Don't tell anyone we're not normal.
That's my one good. aspect.
Selling
but do you think though that it is possible for people to get together even if their family are against it? Do you think the relationship can still work and the family will eventually get around it? Or you know, if your family is against it, just give up on the relationship, find somebody and have a support. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, you might never see your family again, but that's all about your future and how you see it. That's not funny. It's serious.
I know.
But yeah, of course. Because obviously, like, some families disapprove of things that are perfectly okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's nothing you can do about that. You just have to say your family's wrong.
Okay. All right. That was a very deep...
Was that profound?
Deep and profound, yeah. On a lighter note, though... Two respected NHS consultants have been sent home from the hospital after they were seen squaring up to each other in a row over patients not being brought down to theatre at the right times. Surgeon Jaron Omer and consultant anesthetist or whatever.
Anesthetics?
No.
What did you say? I think you had it right.
Anesthetist. Now you're making it.
Anesthetist.
Wow, okay. Anesthetist, right? I hope you guys get it.
I don't think we're getting that right, but...
Well, I don't think we got it right, but I think whoever is listening...
The people that put people to sleep.
Yeah, you get the idea.
But
anyway,
it's people.
That's it. So those two guys, well, his name is Cameron Abbas, doesn't make any difference unless he's listening. They allegedly went toe-to-toe outside an operating theatre, with one of them losing a tooth as a nurse intervened in the fight. The incident happened in Manchester Royal Infirmary and is being investigated. So, why that kind of thing doesn't happen in that thingy, that sitcom, Holby City?
It's not a sitcom, for one thing.
I don't know. When I used to watch Casualty, there was always stuff going on.
People are always arguing and stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was sort of a bit exciting, like two sort of doctors fighting outside, you know? I think the nurses got really hotted up with that, you know what I mean? Exciting. Oh, my God. Oh, look at Doctor, what's his name? Surgeon Jarrod. Oh, my God, he looks all sweaty and hot, fighting and throwing punches. I don't know what I'm doing here.
I love it when Jeff gets really into stuff.
I'm just imagining, like, this just weird porno in hospitals.
Yeah, they started ripping off each other's clothes. I hate you, I hate you, I love you.
Yeah, and somehow somebody lost a tooth in there. Don't know.
For some reason, a plumber came by and just...
and started helping out.
Yeah.
Oh, that was weird, sorry. And you want to read that?
Not really, but okay. No. something about pandas. I got no time for pandas.
All right, neither do I.
Let's summarise. It's basically about pandas not having sex again.
Which is just of all the species who are going extinct, not being bothered to have sex, I don't have any sympathy for that.
I really don't know why we so...
Just let them die.
Yeah.
Pandas are cute.
I love pandas.
That's the only reason that they're alive now Everybody's thinking, oh my God, they're cute. They don't want to fuck each other. You know
As
what I mean?
As humans, it's important we protect what's beautiful in this world.
But they just contribute to anything in society.
They just sit there all day and get high.
They eat bamboo. They'd have too much bamboo if they didn't eat
it. Oh, God, because, you know,
No, Zega's fried. I'm like, I'm this fucking bad bitch.
Exactly. Come on, man. And you know what? They've been brought together since 2011 during the mating season. Didn't even manage to get together because somehow the female pandas happens to be fussy about who she has sex with. Listen, panda, at least you have a male fucking mate to have sex with, yeah? Us, the human race, we out there. There's some dudes out there, we ain't getting shit. There's some women out
like
there.
Like you, Trev.
I don't think I'm talking for all I don't think I'm talking for all the men out there, but for me, even if I'm not getting it, you know what? It's fine. I can live with that. I'm not a panda. If I was, I'd be fucking every other panda.
But you wouldn't be, because you'd be a panda.
Yeah, they don't like sex, remember?
Do they not like sex?
I don't think it. I think it's just
hormones.
They because the bamboo just gets them high and everything. Just, I think like, we could have sex, but
imagine if we gave a panda some Viagra.
What would they do? But that just makes you like
the women.
That make them horny, innit?
The female pandas are only in heat for like they only have a breeding window of 36 hours.
So we need to give them, you know what I mean? We need
a year.
Oh, okay. So we need to give them something, some sort of, you know, some sort of drug to get them horny, like, you know.
So that she needs some female Viagra, because it's her who had a headache.
That's it. Breathes. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, I've got a headache, I can have sex. Like, how fucking humane are we turning these pandas into? Oh, you know what I mean?
Well, I've got a panda theory. They're gay.
Plausible.
But they're not having sex with their own sex, are they?
Because they're not allowing them to, because we're putting men and women together and they're all staring at each other going, you're not really my type. Right.
How did pandas last this long? I don't know how they got this far.
Because they're cute. They evolved to be adorable, so people would help
they're
them.
They're cute, so then just other pandas fell out of them, is that? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
No, they do occasionally have sex, but...
Yeah, but... I don't know, just let them die.
You know what I mean?
You know,
we should be worried about other animals.
It's not like polar bears where we're kind of fucking them over. Like, hey, you know that place you live in? It's all melting. Like, I feel like we should help them out. But pandas, man.
Come on, they don't do anything.
I'm with you.
Besides looking cute, man. I think we should just grab pens and just stab them in the head one by one.
Well, I don't think we should do that.
Okay, that was it.
Like we go to Edinburgh Shoe and they're standing the Byron in its head. We would know Trevor's been up there.
Okay, that was a bit extreme. Animal lovers.
This podcast does not advocate cruelty to animals.
Oh no.
Unless they're like chicken, then.
Unless you get to eat them afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, then that's fine.
I'd never eat a panda.
No.
Oh,
no,
I wouldn't.
What about if you didn't know?
If it was
what
panda.
About if it turned out to be delicious? You wouldn't know exactly.
Oh, then they can get even more.
I'd try anything once.
Imagine if you find out they were delicacies.
You know what? I bet they do taste delicious. No, everything rare tastes
delicious. Yeah, surely. Oh, it's got to be some soft, nice, juicy panda meat. Mm.
I bet dodos were just brilliant. Just, you know.
You know what I mean? Imagine having like a panda wing or something. You know what
pandas
I mean?
Don't like
panda ribs makes more sense.
Yeah, panda ribs. They've got massive heads, though.
Panda
how would you
ears.
Bloody
you
cook?
Wouldn't... You
Trev, you're African. you put that in a soup, right? Lord knows we've got pots big enough.
Yeah, a massive pot.
I'm trying to think what panda tastes like.
Ugh. A panda wouldn't taste nice, I can assure you. The best looking things in the world have the worst taste.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just saying...
pigs are really cute, and they taste amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
that was one exception to the rule.
That's exception to the rule.
Cows are ugly, but do cows taste good?
They do.
Yeah, people like sheep.
They taste good.
They're kind of cute, actually. Baby sheep are cute.
Yeah.
Lambs.
I take it back.
Yeah, oh, fair enough.
So we turned you around, we're going to...
It wasn't as bad as Trev's stabbing comments.
We're not going to put a panda on a spit, I don't think. I don't think there's any need.
That's
longest way to cook it. Just put it in the oven. Why?
Just put the panda alive in the oven and just watch him just...
Oh, it's so cute. Fighting for its life. Yeah.
Oh, that was mean.
Again, because of the bamboo, I don't think they'd be that bothered. I think they'd just be like, oh, wow, the soy die. And they just die.
It's pretty hot and warm in here. Oh,
they only eat bamboo, don't they? So they don't really get any pleasure in life.
No, that's what I'm saying. They don't pleasure. Do anything.
They're givers.
You know what I mean? We just looked at them and just go, oh my God, look at the panda, so cute. That's all.
But what's wrong with cuteness?
I don't know. Surely that's got to bring something else to the world than just
Are you
being
jealous
cute.
Of the panda? Because they're so cute. And you're not getting any sex.
I'm jealous of all the effort that is going into pandas to get them laid. No one's helping me. There's no organisation like, man, we need to get Sayo laid. This is...
Yeah. It's been a while. He hasn't got laid. We need to gather behind him and make sure it happens.
That's
what
Rush Hour Crush is for.
Really? I don't know. The people
that
are writing...
That's what your mates are for, surely. No, they got blocked.
Who? Your mates?
Yeah.
What's she talking about?
Don't know.
Well, I went from pandas to cock blocking.
That's why I've been cock blocked so far, because of pandas.
What happened to your mate? You know, the one that we called up?
Oh, Kwesi. His name is Kwesi, but we call him Sisi. He's in Ghana right now. Basically, I don't know.
When he found out it wasn't real,
they actually pranked me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, what we did, I think a couple of episodes ago, me and my mates went out, my mate pulled this girl, and we just, like, on the way back, we were drunk. So we called this girl, and we just left her all kind of abusive voicemails, right? And then the next day, we were recording, and he wasn't there, so we pretended that Carmen was a girl he'd met at the club, and she was returning his call because he didn't have his mobile at the time. So
it's a
then,
bit of a long story. But basically, we pretended to him that the girl wanted to talk to him.
Yeah.
But then I spoke to him and I was like, why have you been calling me? Why have you been leaving me all these messages? I don't want to talk to you. And he was like, what?
He was stunned. So yeah, the prank worked quite well. How they got me back though, I've got another of my friends in France. He got some girl that we know who lives in London to give me a ring, because I didn't have a number.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting at home chilling. I get a call about 11, 12 o'clock at night, pick up the phone. It's a girl. Don't know the number, right? So I'm like, hey, what's up? That's my telephone boy, sexy telephone. Like, hey, what's up? Right?
Why is there
no difference?
The only difference in your telephone voice is like an expression on your face.
No one can see.
That's probably why it's not been successful so far. You know?
Maybe you should try, like, what's the iPhone app?
I don't know.
FaceTime or something.
FaceTime, I should try something else. So I'm talking to this girl and she's like, yeah, how you doing? Blah, blah. Why you ain't be calling me and this and that? And I'm like, who is this girl? I don't know you. Okay. And she's like, what, you don't remember my name and all that? So it's like that, you met me, you kissed me, now you don't remember my name, are you that type of guy? And man, I'm racking my brains up trying to find out who this girl is. And she's like, you know what, Trevor, I don't want to speak to you anymore. And she hangs up on me. And I'm just like, fuck, who is this girl? I'm trying to figure that shit out, I'm trying to figure. So I call her back, she doesn't pick up the phone. I call her back 3 times, she's not picking up the phone, right? Then she calls me back again, and then she tells me, ah, it's a prank. Look, they left it for about 2 to 4 weeks, so I'd already forgotten about that prank. You know, seeing that the number, like, it seemed genuine, because at the time as well, I'd met
I'd met
a few girls, you know, that was going on, and I was like, all right, maybe it's one of the girls I met, you know. So yeah, so that's how he got me back, and he actually bloody messaged me from Ghana to say like, hey mate, what's going on? So yeah, got to give him props for that. So yeah, Kwesi, well done. I'm gonna get you back though.
It's ongoing.
That's what we do. We guys. We just annoy the shit out of each other.
Pregnancy. Just be like, the baby's yours.
I'm not sure if I'm gonna go that far. Start making him pay like child maintenance, and then after 5 years, be like, yeah, it's not your baby, man. That'd be a reason to kill somebody. I don't think I'm ready for that.
Little Kwame.
Yeah.
this on?
On a more interesting note, the council in Croydon is trying to cut down on the amount of fast food shop that has to open because apparently they're worried about the obesity in Croydon. Yeah. So they're trying to cut down on people opening chicken shops.
Trying to cut down on what, sorry?
On people opening chicken shops.
Why? What is it doing to people?
Because people are becoming obese. They're saying, like, you know, the opening of new fast food outlets could be banned in the borough suffering an obesity crisis.
Shut up.
Fuck you. Guys, do not laugh at this shit, yeah? Those guys are taking a piss out of me.
What crisis?
Whatever, man.
Are there bears? Obesity crisis?
Obesity, yeah?
The pandas again.
So, yeah, I think that's an interesting story here. I don't know about you, but...
I think people should learn to control themselves. You can't stop... opening food shops because people can't stop eating.
Yeah, people have to make a living, and if they want to open chicken shops or fast food shops, you know, they're free to open that. It's a free world, free country. People can make a choice if that's what they decide to eat, then fair enough, you know. If they decide to go healthy, then fair enough. I think people have to be educated more about the health and nutritional habits. And we don't do that enough here. We got far too many commercials about Burger King, Mickey D's, KFC on TV, rather than healthy stuff. And healthy stuff is fucking expensive.
Yeah. I disagree with that. I think you can eat very well on not too much money.
You could, but it is expensive.
You've got to put a bit of effort.
What you're saying is if you want to buy fast food and you want to eat something healthy, like if you go to Leon, for example, that's way more expensive than buying a burger.
Yeah. Mm. But I do think eating healthy is expensive. It's more expensive to eat healthy than to eat unhealthy. Like, if you want to eat good quality products, good healthy quality products, it's expensive. Like, you know what I mean?
I kind of know. I think that there's different, like you said, if you're having fast food, fast food is always going to be expensive if it's healthy and cheap if it's unhealthy. But I think if you're just in your house, if you're going around the supermarket, generally speaking, you know, fruit, veg, a bit of chicken, a bit of fish, you can, but it's all about if you make things from scratch, obviously the raw ingredients are way cheaper than buying them already cooked. I mean, I think Croydon Council should I agree with you, they should just let them be. And let them peddle their crap.
Yeah, I think they should let them be. But mostly because if I have a gig in Croydon, I want a large variety of vegetables. Or one on my way home. But
it can't be as bad as East Ham. East Ham is the chicken shop capital of the planet.
It's on that Barking Road.
Oh, yeah. Barking Road, High Street North, Romford Road, every road. Every road's got a chicken shop on it.
You know, that's the thing. Like, I do eat with chicken. However, the only time most of the time where I get really upset with myself about eating them is after a drunken night out, and I'm kind of thinking to myself, oh my God, I can't believe I'm eating this shit, and I know it's shit, but right now I can help myself because these chicken wings are so freaking delicious. And it's just weird. It's just everywhere. It's like after a night out, that's the only thing you're going to eat because there's nothing else to eat, you know? And I don't know. I think I really need to campaign for healthy eating. I need to try and do something about it.
Alright, Trev, this is interesting. So what are you going to do about it?
Well, I need to promote a healthy lifestyle a lot more, you know. By the way, I've stopped smoking for about 3 weeks now. Yeah? Bruh, bruh, bruh. Fucking.
I hate the people who go on about, oh yeah, I've stopped smoking, aren't I amazing?
I don't for 3 weeks.
I mean,
look, it's tough.
I've stopped smoking, but that's just because I ran out of money. It's not. Yeah.
No. All right. The decision to stop smoking. Smoking is a tough thing to stop doing. Yeah?
Yeah, and, it's very hard.
You know, and every day is a fucking battle.
Wow.
Every day is a struggle not to smoke.
That sounds sad.
You know, that's how sad it is because, it's not the first time I've tried sort of stop smoking. Like, I've tried before, but I think before, the difference, between before and now was that before when I tried to stop smoking, if I'd stopped smoking for 2 days, I used to think that, okay, that's it. I'm not going to have cravings anymore. I'm not going to smoke. And then whenever I get cravings, I just have a cigarette. The difference now is that for whatever reason, I got educated that, okay, if you've been smoking for a long time, you know, even when you stop smoking, you're still going to have those cravings on a day-to-day basis. So even if you stop smoking for 2-3 days, for a week, 2 weeks, whatever, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months down the line, you're still going to have cravings. So it's a day-to-day battle of you, you know, not trying to sort of take nicotine. And if you can, you know, if you can sort of not do it or prepare your mind not to do it or win that daily battle, then you eventually get to a point when you stop thinking about smoking.
Have you been thinking about smoking throughout this podcast?
No. Amazingly not. I'm trying to get my...
Wait, I bet you're thinking about it now.
No.
That cigarette smoke.
No. It's funny.
Inhaling and exhaling.
No, because I've been next to Pete, like, I've tried to do, because I don't want to turn into one of those ex-smokers where, like, oh my God, you're smoking. I hate it. Like, you know, so my friends, I see you smoking. And people I work with are still smoking, people I hang out with, and I still go out with them on their cigarette breaks and just stand there,
kind of thing. Smoking. Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of like, all right, you know, I'm trying, I don't know, trying to get over it, like, you know, I'm still going to be in that situation, because people smoke, my friends smoke. So I can't really say, you know, I'm going to pull myself completely away from a situation where everybody I'm surrounded by doesn't smoke, you know what I mean? But you know the best decision I've ever made right now is that I'm not going to date a girl who smokes. Boom!
Is that your decision or is it the girl's decision?
That's my decision. Oh. Yeah. I think it helps. I don't know.
I think it's hard when you're dating someone who smokes.
Yeah. If you don't smoke, it's obviously... I don't even know how girls did that. You know, I went out with girls who weren't smoking and I was smoking and I'm kind of thinking, how did I fucking...
Yeah, the only reason I gave up was because my ex-boyfriend didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's so true. Like, when you don't smoke, you don't realise how... as a non-smoker, you have to realise how weak and smell things you can. I'll give you an example. Someone once put ice in a drink of mine.
Yeah.
And I tasted the drink. I was like, it stinks of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And, like, he hadn't realised that his hands had the smell.
Wow.
But that's something you pick up when you... Like, I've never really smoked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's... If you're a non-smoker and you go out with a smoker, just marry the guy or marry the girl because you're obviously in love. Because you must smell that, like, all the time. Yeah.
And now it's more pronounced now. As soon as I get on the lift at work, I just pick it up. And it's just crazy. It's kind of like a new world to me. Like, I just pick it up. Like, people walk by and I'm just like, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. And I'm kind of like, it feels like, yeah, I've got some superpowers kind of thing.
It's like, no, you just don't stink no more. You know? But the same thing to me and curry. Like, when I'm cooking at home, I don't smell anything.
Yeah.
And then my housemate will come home and be like, it stinks of curry. And I'm like, what? And I don't notice it because it's just I'm used to it and whatever. So...
Yeah, I know. So if I ever, like, leave my room and then come back, like, oh, man, it stinks of weed in here. Well, and I'll continue smoking, but, you know.
Hey, mate, I tell you what, if you want to carry on smoking. I think what it is, I'm not trying to get people to stop smoking. That's not my intention whatsoever. That has to come from you. That's a personal decision.
I agree. You know? I don't think you should ever go on about it too much to someone.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they'll be less likely to give up.
Yeah, it's a personal. That's the thing. I don't know how I came up to that decision of stop smoking. I think it was more one of those things where you sort of make a snap decision kind of thing and you just stick with it for a little while and it's kind of like, oh shit, this is working out. Great.
Yeah, when you just make a snap life decision. Yeah.
So yeah, let's go kill somebody. Right, this is working out. Well, I've got somebody we could kill right now. So this guy, Lendro something. Anyway, he's on the Comedy Collective. Now, if you don't know about the Comedy Collective...
What's his name?
Lendro something. Lendro whatever. I think we can get it on Facebook or whatever. Yeah. But this guy is on the Comedy Collective. Okay, I explain what the Comedy Collective is.
Oh God, they don't want to know. No
one gives a shit. It's a Facebook group with comedians.
That's his name.
So, Lawrence Lendo. Lorenz Lendo. For a couple of days. So, his name is Lorenz Lendo. He's somebody we need to kill.
Oh, my God.
And Lorenz Lendo just posted on the Comedy Collective. Apparently, he's a comedian. And he just posted. I mean, I don't know him. Athena doesn't know him. Sayo, do you know him?
Don't think so.
Carmen, do you know him?
I don't know who this guy is, no.
And we're all comedians in London. Is this? So,
can I read it out?
Yes, you can.
He's posted in the Comedy Collective. I just got turned down for 2 gigs on the basis that I'm not a woman and I'm not black. Why is it okay in comedy to organise gigs that discriminate based on gender and colour? Some of my best friends have had abortions and stolen cars. What the fuck?
Yes, what the fuck? Exactly.
But you know, because I'm looking for gigs and it doesn't say what gig he got turned away
from. Yeah, we
have. Well, I've kind of been looking through the thread, okay? So it was a gig in Clapham, which he says was a black gig he wasn't allowed to do. And the female gig was a funny woman.
Which is about funny women.
So, and looking at it now, I think we were up to, like, was it 300 message comments?
215 or something.
The thing that appalled me most is kind of, like, I think people need to start entertaining this guy. He either is being serious or is being provocative. But either way, like, we've kind of... People like this are really frustrating because if he's being provocative, all he's really doing is getting people to react to racism, which is what people
should
do.
That's a brilliant thing from Daphne. Never give up. Many comedy nights dedicate a special spot to racist comedian of the week.
True.
It's kind of crazy. And if he's trying to make a point, I don't know what point he's trying to... Basically, I don't know what I'm saying. It's just I really hate the Comedy Collective.
Yeah.
I love it, but because it's useful.
Surely funny is funny. Yeah, but...
No, it's not
funny. Funny Women was created to give more opportunities to women because there were more men in comedy, right? You get over that, sorry, firstly. Yeah. Secondly, I don't know, like, about the black gigs thing, but...
Yeah. I think, actually, having done a few black gigs, I haven't done as many as I think maybe I should have done or whatever, but I do think, having done them, I do think that always black promoters are always looking out for white comedians to come through.
That is totally and utterly true. Yeah. Completely true. There are white... Most black gigs I do tend to have at least one white performer. In the same way, most white gigs I do have a black performer.
They're always looking out for... Yeah.
You know, I always like on the BET Awards, they always have one white person come along to sing. It's like, oh, it's Justin Timberlake. So, alright, I guess we'll just come in.
It's true. So, yeah, so this guy basically... I don't know what his problem is. I read through the thread, and I mean, although it's offensive,
I'm tempted to create a white male only gig. Oh, that's.
Wow. I mean, the guy's just stupid.
No one's going to want to book him now. Why would you do that? Like,
I honestly think this guy is just a wind up merchant, and I think, but it's. The thing is, if you're going to wind people up, there's no point winding them up on things that are racist or sexist or discriminatory, because that if you're a sane person, you will be wound up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to wind people up, you want to say something like, oh, I ran over your cat. Oh, no, I didn't. And then, you know, or whatever. So I think he's kind of I think he's just wasting his time. You can't, well done, everyone, you've proved you're not racist.
Yeah.
But he's trying to make himself feel like, look, as if he's the sane person.
Yeah.
And he's not. So, Lawrence, if you're listening, you're a prick.
He says, the joke line I put up isn't racist or sexist.
What? And that's like a known goal. I read that comment and I was like, dude, that is racist and it is sexist. Like, you know, yes, jokes are based on stereotypes, but most of them are based on positive stereotyping, not negative stereotyping.
It's the whole situation. It's just...
Like, dude, you've taken an L there, just accept it and just move on. And whoever is the moderator of the Comedy Collective should really have deleted the thing, because people have been banned for saying less offensive things than that.
Thank you. Should we delete it now?
Like, you know what I mean? People have been banned for saying less offensive things than that.
He needs to not be in this group. Comedy Collective isn't to provoke people and to make people frustrated, especially as a black person, as a woman, and as a comedian. I'll tell you hands down, I've definitely been discriminated against in this industry, and I'm sure I will be. And that, to me, is more serious than a white person who can't do a black gig in Clapham one time. Yeah. Like, it's like, do your 20 other gigs that you can do.
Yeah.
You know? The thing is that everyone's... discriminated or not discriminated in some ways.
In some ways,
everyone's got an advantage or a disadvantage. Yeah. You might get a gig because you're a woman. You might get a gig because you're black. You might get a gig because you're white or you're a male or both or all.
Yeah.
So you can't.
It's,
I don't know.
It's the nature of comedy as well. Yeah. If you're not suited to an audience, it doesn't mean that the promoter is wrong. It means the promoter understands comedy. Some people won't find me. What was I saying? People in Bushy St. Chalfont, Heath St. Giles might not like my material on black footballers.
Yeah.
And good for them for not liking it because it's a bit racist.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not racist, really. Look it up.
Well.
But the point, the point is that there are people that will like me and there are people that won't like me, and I can't look a promoter in the eye and say you're racist for not booking me because he's thinking about his audience.
Yeah.
Promoters have to get paid at the end of the day.
I think at the end of the day, you just got to accept that not every place is going to book you, you know? That's the bottom line. Some places, you've sent some emails after email after email, and for whatever reason, they don't get back to you. And, you know, it's not personal, it's just business. So, Lawrence, just live with you or just go and pop yourself, you know? But stop annoying the shit out of people, man.
What do we think? Remove it? Or
why are you a moderator?
Can you remove him from Comedy Collective?
Yeah, I don't know if I can do it on my phone.
Are you a moderator?
Yeah.
Carmen is a moderator. Fuck yeah!
Let's have a big clear out. Right, who are we going to get rid of? Let's get rid of enough people, man.
And then I'll post afterwards that, we just did this. Listen to the Is This On podcast. Boom!
Let's just delete everyone except for us and then we can do all the tips.
I don't think I can do it on my phone.
Okay, that's the word.
Do it later. Because
it'll just be us.
Oh, yeah. And welcome to the stage again.
Yeah. Is Madge Hooks a moderator as well, All right, fair enough. Okay. So you guys should just get rid of this, man. Well, I don't know. You could leave it on because people are still talking. I don't know.
Like I said, he's talking about race and he's talking about sexism. People are always going to talk about it. Because
I might send him a message later and say.
Yeah.
And he's acting, what he's doing is very deliberate. He's acting dumb. Now, I can't take for granted that you're acting dumb. I have to assume you're a real person that needs an education because it's important.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to be publicly acting dumb, I need to think about all the people who think like you who are reading that nodding their heads.
Yeah.
And that's why people are reacting, because they don't want people who think like this guy or think like this guy is pretending to think agreeing with him.
Yeah.
So I kind of object to the whole principle of saying something that is
just to prove
that people are uppity, because it's not about being uppity. Yeah. It's about making sure that some views are not acceptable. Yeah.
You see, the point you're making there is a really great point. And when I was reading that, some people were making comments and it actually made me think about some of the jokes that I've actually written, where to the point where I felt like, you know what, this material or what I'm thinking, like, oh yeah, it's a joke, a rape joke, it is actually kind of, you know, it is actually kind of sexist, like, you know.
I think
I've gone out there and I've told that joke and I've had either mixed reactions. Sometimes it's gone well, sometimes it hasn't gone down well, sometimes, you know, and it's made me think about this material in terms of, you know what, I do have a responsibility. I can just write stuff and just, you know, put it on the fact that yes, I'm a comedian and it's funny and just take it out there. I do have a responsibility in terms of educating people. A responsibility.
I didn't know what you were saying.
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a clue. I
just let everything slide.
Response calls ability, you know.
It's fine.
I think the thing is that on the one hand, I think, you know, there's always going to be someone who's offended by something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think you do have to think about what you're saying. I had a bit of a disagreement with another comedian recently because he did a rape joke that I didn't really think was funny enough to justify it. And then he mumbled something about Louis C.K. And I went, you can't say Louis C.K.
It's funny enough to cover the offence.
And it depends who the joke is at the expense of and everything. Yeah.
I think comedians who've made it, like the likes of Louis C.K., Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle or whatever, like when they do their risky joke, rape jokes or race joke or whatever, they're gonna get away with it no matter how easy. It's just for the fact that they've established themselves as professional comics. But at our level,
it more than likely it usually comes from more of a place of making fun of the
victim.
Wow.
It was victim. That's just it. Just needs to stick it to his victim.
Yeah. They're not getting enough. Okay.
People are too
soft. You know what I mean? It's the other way around.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The abuser or the racist.
That's exactly what I meant.
Different, I think, than just going, oh, ha-ha, rape's funny. So...
apart from that one Louis C.K. joke that everyone quotes, where it's completely making fun of the victim, but...
which one? What, the one about the...
where it's like, oh, there's never an excuse not to rape anyone. Unless someone doesn't want to have sex with you, then what are you going to do? Not have sex with them?
I don't think that is, because he's saying, unless you want to fuck someone and they don't want to fuck you, as in, like, that's a ridiculous reason to...
Yeah, he's playing up the ridiculousness of it, of course, but... you know.
Yeah, but that's where the funny is.
It's funny enough to cover the offensive.
But the cleverness of that joke, not to get all like theory, is that people in relationships so obviously have had sex at some point.
Yeah, you know, and I'm like,
a rat of times I put out because I'm just like, oh my god, if it will shut you up.
A lot of people have had sex when you don't really want to, but it's kind of all happening. I've had sex when I didn't really want to, it happens to me all the time. Sometimes
I just wake up and I'm like, oh, what?
I can't believe she's just done this. Stop abusing me, baby. Like,
get off me. I've got a responsibility. Get off me.
Listening to girls saying how much they're putting it out when they didn't want to.
No, I'm not saying it happens all the time, but also that it's like, it's if you're in a relationship, especially, there will be times when you just want to watch this week and it's, you know, and you want to go to bed or whatever. Yeah. So.
And equally for the male, there is time when he's in a relationship where he has to please you because you feel that way.
Oh, yeah.
It's a two-way street, you know?
I'm glad you said that.
I'm just tired of being used and abused like an object, you know. I'm a human being, I've got feelings too.
Is this on?
What other gig have you got going on?
I've got nothing. If you're a promoter, book me. I'm doing
black and female.
Book me as the black female act. I do all kinds of impressions. I do Beyonce. I do Bob Marley. What have I got going on? I am genuinely doing Funny Woman next Monday on the 29th.
I paid
£15. I'm going to get a makeup bag for white people, so that'd be good. Because I don't think it's going to be a diverse makeup bag.
Is it like, what stage is it?
It's the early stage. It's like the one where it's like, you know, it's the gig everyone gets.
The first round.
Yeah. Okay. And I've got that. I'm going to Windsor on Thursday to do an open mic, but I'm free, so promoters, call me, babe. Call me.
Yeah, Twitter.
Facebook. Twitter, Athena Comedy. My name is Athena. I do comedy. It's really easy. Athena Comedy. That's all I have to say.
Oh, that's a nice...
oh, thanks, Trev, for having me. I've loved it. It's been fun.
Cool, man. We hope to have you back again, and I think the listeners... we say the same. She's been very entertaining and very funny and taking the piss out of my accent too. Damon, any plugins?
Plugins?
Do you know what? I'm just ignoring now when he said that.
Plugging? All right.
I guess by the time this gig goes out again...
No, I got the last one on time, so stop saying, like, by the time this one, like, I'm always late. I got the last one on time, I think it was Easter or some bullshit like that. She wanted it out before because I don't know what was going on. I managed to get it out on time, so give me some credit.
I think I have a gig on the 5th of May at The Step in Bounds Green.
Oh, that's a really good gig.
Yeah, I think it's
Is that Steps from Chris Markle?
Yeah,
that's a good gig.
Gig.
That's the second time you're doing that gig, like within 3 months or something like that, isn't it?
Oh, it's the 4th of May.
Okay. That's a good
I've
gig.
Done it before. Yeah. I mean, you keep keeping track of what I'm doing.
Wow. you were wearing a blue dress last time. You
The only reason I know about this is because you spoke about it at some point.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
I've got the Comedy Cafe tomorrow.
And I think I've been trying to get on that gig because I've done it a few months back. I've been trying to get on it and I can't. And
did he send you around? Oh, this is boring. People don't want to hear about this. Okay, we'll talk about it after.
Okay. So, Comedy Cafe tomorrow. There's no way this is going out tomorrow.
No, but I don't, you know, to be honest, last time I was at a Comedy Cafe, it didn't go very well. So, we'll see.
I can't get booked there. I always...
What?
Because they never... It's always a secret when you have to call.
You call up.
And then I was like, all right, tomorrow's the day. Like, tomorrow, call. And then it gets to like 5 o'clock. I'm like, let me see what's on the clock. Oh, shit! Oh,
I forgot.
You should put a reminder on your phone.
Yeah, I'll see them and I'll be like, oh, yeah. And then I'll continue forgetting. But, yeah. Not yet. Good luck tomorrow.
Cheers. Good luck tomorrow. Break a leg. Yourself?
I'm doing gigs, but they're all... very low level.
Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Ciodav, CIODAV. That's my name. That's my Twitter. Also, you can follow me on Tumblr if you want. if you want periodical depressing blogs every few months, you know, that's Ciodav.tumblr. You know, just Google Ciodav. There's only me. It's a made-up name, so...
Shire's going to be the best father. Like, Dad, come get and play, if you want.
I think I'll be a bit stricter. I'll be like, well, what day is it? Wednesday? Nah, you played out last month. it's too much fun.
Trev, right. Got any plugins?
Glade plugins?
I actually haven't got anything at all. Not booked. I'm working on the Camden Fringe. So that's
who you
like
doing it with?
I'm doing it with Andy Story and Sarah Isles. And
who?
Sarah Eels or Isles? What is he?
Sarah Isles.
Yeah, Sarah Isles. Yeah,
you should probably learn her name if you're doing that. Reminds me, I'm doing
Looper.
I am doing Edinburgh this year. So if you want to come see me at 1 o'clock in the morning at the top deck of the Comedy Burst at Three Sisters from the 1st to the 17th, excluding Sundays, the show is called Big Spoon, Little Spoon, me and Jamie Orphan, so that is the thing. Yeah, there's my plug.
Boom! Yeah. Boom! That was a nice plug. We'll probably remind you as we're closer to the time, because we still got like 5 months to go.
But to be honest, this is still going to be up there. That's how it works.
You know, it's still going to be out there for people to listen to.
Somebody might be in Edinburgh listening on like the 5th of August and be like, what am I going to do tonight?
At 1 o'clock.
In the morning. I want to go see a show on the top deck of a bus. That's... No, don't, you're making a mistake. Yeah. But you should come.
That's it.
It's a weird venue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be... I just know I'm either going to come back being like, that was awful, I spent way too many time just arguing with drunk people. And also, there's going to be days where it's going to be like 10, and I'm like, oh, I've got to stay up to 1 to do this fucking show.
Yeah, because I had a gig at like 12:30 or something, and I went back home and had a nap, and then went out again. But that was just a one-off, like every night.
Yeah.
It's hard.
So, yeah, that's it, really. Promoters, if you want to book me, just pull out your boy. I'm trying to get booked. There's nothing going on in my life right now. Pretty sad. I just want to make you laugh.
Oh, man. That's
like the most desperate thing I've ever heard you say, ever. As comedians are desperate, but that was really desperate. We don't work for them no more, Chef. Trying to change.
Most people are like, I just want to make you come. You're like, oh, no, no, no.
That's what I live for, man.
That was sad. I'm a 20-year-old who had an existential crisis last week, and that was sad. Oh, man.
But, yeah, that's the point. That's my life right now, you know. That's the point I've reached where, you know, even sex doesn't get me that motivated anymore. It's just laughter. Need to be out there. Need to get my self-confidence broke back by making people laugh.
Broke back.
Broke back. Like, yeah.
Wow.
I really need to be careful with my words.
Maybe that's where you go wrong with the sex.
Maybe that's why why you haven't got any bookings, because I'm going to understand you.
Like, this guy, he's gay, and that's cool, but he says responsibility. And, yeah.
And broke back. So, yeah, it's not really happening. But, yeah.
Just adopt Dangerous Tease method. Just get all the keywords and just one gig there. You're just like, all right.
That's it. So, yeah, guys, thanks for listening. And thank you, Sayo. Thank you, Carmen. And thank you, Athena, for coming through. And we try and get this out ASAP. And if you got anything to say, Twitter, is this on? At is this on? Facebook, is this on? And you can find us all on Facebook, Twitter. And yeah.